Can two wrongs make a right? Well, human philosophy says no, but the scriptures teach us that two wrongs do make a right. I want you to pay close attention in this talk here, because we're going to go kind of contrary to the religious and the modern Christian view of sin, but I think this is important. We have to understand this topic. God demands a wrong to set things right, but man says we have to right a wrong by good deeds. Man even has a proverb that says two wrongs never make a right, but we're going to find that the scriptures are a little bit different than that. Look at your own personal life. How often have you made a mistake and it turned out to be justified by the result? You did something unintentionally, but the end result was things turned out right. Now, we don't recommend the mistake, but the reason is because the consequences of the mistake are really beyond human control. When we screw something up and it turns out right, we say, wow, thank God. Even in business, we've had this idea of a mistake being corrected by a mistake. For instance, in my business days, I've been overcharged by some of my vendors. And what did he do in response to that? Well, the next time I purchased something from him, he undercharged me to make up for it. In other words, two wrongs made a right. Now, God does this. Now, before I go further, I want you, if you're listening, you're starting to get worried. God doesn't sin. God never misses the mark. People think I'm about to charge God with sin. I'm not doing that. You need to pay attention. You need to remove from your mind human philosophy, especially doctrinal statements and the theology of man. Adam sinned in the garden in Genesis 3. Then what did Adam do? He made these girdle skirts, these nice designer clothes made of fig leaves. And that wasn't really wrong. He didn't do another wrong to cover his sin. But remember, God wasn't satisfied with Adam's remedy. So what does God do? He kills an innocent lamb. The sin that brought the need of covering demands another wrong to cover it. That little lamb didn't do anything wrong, yet God killed it to cover Adam. Now, in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read this. 2 Corinthians 5 from the Concordant Version, "For the one not knowing sin, he makes to be a sin offering for our sakes, that we may becoming God's righteousness in him." If you notice, the word offering in the Concordant Version is in light-faced type because it's supplied by the translation. It's implied, maybe. But the word sin is all that's there. God made Christ to be sin. In Hebrew, the word sin and sin offering are identical. In Leviticus 4:14, we read this. And I'll start with verse 13. "If the whole congregation of Israel, they should err inadvertently, and the matter is obscured from the eyes of the assembly, and they do something departing from any of Yahweh's instructions of what should not be done, and they realize their guilt, when the sin which they have sinned becomes known, then the assembly will bring near a flawless bull calf of the herd as a sin offering." Again, the word offering is in light-faced type there. So when they sin, they had to bring a sin. Read Leviticus 4:14 again. A sin is covered by another sin. So the question is, how can a sacrifice for sin be a sin? That's the great question at hand. Let's go back in history a little bit before we answer. After the flood, man was allowed to eat steak. Before the flood, he was a vegetarian. Now, what if somebody just went out and hunted down an animal and just killed it for no other reason except for the sport of it? Well, that would be a sin. That's like a criminal act, just to kill something for no reason. The death served no useful purpose. But this is exactly what a sacrifice for sin was, and that's why the sin offerings are called sin. Propitiation was by means of a sin. You get it? One mistake was temporarily covered by another. And that's why the bullock for sin was burned outside the camp. If you read the Hebrew scriptures, because it was sin, it was taken outside of God's dwelling place and burned. Now remember this. Only God can cure sin with sin. We're not recommending that we sin. Paul took care of that in his letters. No, he's not recommending that we sin. But God corrects sin with sin. Just look at the cross. If you go to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Christ was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood, remember that scene. Think about that scene. He always did the will of his Father when he was on earth. He always did what pleased him. But here, he begs for the cup to pass from him. Here, his will was not in line with his Father's. Of course, he did say, "Not my will, but thine be done." He didn't want to go through that because it was awful. He himself was perfect. No one can find fault in Christ. The Father was well pleased. So the question comes up, was it right that he should suffer? Why did the Lord Jesus cry from the cross, my God, why did you forsake me?" Now notice, it was God who forsook him. God was dealing with his son on the cross, and the question is, was it right? Well, how do we answer that? Well, we answer it because the wrong is justified by the results. God used an evil to bring about the greatest good. Now, this is the means that God uses to win the affection of all mankind. There wasn't the slightest cause why Christ should suffer. He was flawless. He deserved nothing but honor. The greatest evil ever committed was the cross, yet it was of God. Some people say God has nothing to do with evil. Well, he doesn't. Some think that the cross should be attributed to the work of Satan. Oh, really? Should we attribute to Satan then our salvation? The cross is the means of our salvation, and yet it's the greatest evil ever committed, and we want to give credit to man and Satan for that act? No, God did the cross. It was God himself who forsook Christ. And how is it justified? The results. We think of murder as being bad. And we think of murdering a friend. That's even worse. But what if somebody murders somebody who's beloved to them? That's even the worst of all. And yet if we go to the Old Testament in the Hebrew Scriptures, God told Abraham to slay his son Isaac. Yet it was God ordered it. Think about it. And yet God took care of the consequences. If somebody had done that today, we think they are insane and criminal. And it would be a criminal act if God didn't tell them to do it. Of course, Abraham was spared the knife. He didn't have to slay his son. But think about the cross. That action on Mount Moriah with Abraham and Isaac only foreshadowed the cross. But in the cross, God the Father didn't withhold the sword from his son. He did slay him. Abraham's act, from a human standpoint again, was insane. It was awful apart from the fact that God told him to do it. Isaac didn't do anything to deserve going to be slain, and neither did God's son, even far more than Isaac. Now remember, man or Satan didn't make Christ sin. God did it. God made Christ a sin on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says that, "For the one not knowing sin, he," God, "makes to be sin for our sakes." God did this. Thus, all other sins are justified. They are put in right relationship with God. The cross turns sin into righteousness, transgression into obedience, hate into love. Every sin will be justified. Sin by itself, remember, is criminal. We're not recommending sin. But when viewed by the cross, it's essential to reveal God's heart. Without sin, we would never have a Savior. God settles sin by sin. That's the point. Every sin is transmuted by the greatest sin, which is the cross, into an essential act for God's glory and our highest good. Christ's death is sufficient to turn all sin into righteousness. Thank God. Now just look at the cross. All of man's hatred, yet they were carrying out God's will. Just read Matthew 26 and 27. All that stuff that was going on, all of man's hatred, yet at the very same time they were carrying out God's will. And if this is true of the greatest sin of all, the cross, God will justify all sins in the same way. Sin wasn't an accident. God didn't create Satan or mankind not to sin. If he did, God failed. God isn't a sinner. God created these creatures for a purpose. God needed to have the sin into this world and the evil. He needed to have us go through an experience of evil so we can enjoy the highest good. If God intended that man shouldn't sin, God failed. But again, man needs to go through this. And boy, we're going into some things here we can't really at this point. I think next time when we come back, I'm going to discuss the purpose of sin, how it came into the world, and this experience we're going through. Please reserve judgment. I'm not saying God is a sinner. God never sinned, but they are part of God's purpose. Just go back and reflect on what I've said, and remember, all this is turning out to the highest glory of God and man's benefit. One day we're going to look back and say it was all worth it. Even the sin and suffering we went through were necessary ingredients for God's ultimate goal of reconciliation. This is Dan Sheridan. Have a great weekend. It's Friday. Thank God, and rejoice in Him.